Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Titans playing some Thursday night football tonight. And to help us talk more about that and all things NFL, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, Will Levis, excellent on Sunday against the Falcons. He throws for four touchdowns in his debut. We'll see how he responds tonight in his second start against Pittsburgh. But what did Levis's performance on Sunday show you about what he could be maybe in this league? I know it's one game, but what did you think of what you saw from him on Sunday against the Falcons?
Well, like you said, it's one game. I hope that everyone has the grace to know that it's not all going to look like that, and there are going to be rough games, and there's going to be struggles, and that people don't freak out and hit the panic button. So don't expect the start to be to be indicative of, you know, where this is going to go the remainder of the season. But, you know, be encouraged and know that there's struggles that are going to come. And I thought that, to me, if you just looked at, first off, if Treylon Burks catches a couple passes, I think when you get away from the four touchdown passes, the yards per attempt, not super impressive. But if Burks catches two balls, we're talking about maybe a different scenario there. And it's an even better day. I thought that the four touchdown passes were interesting when you looked back at them. I thought two were really good, the Westbrook-Akina pass and the deep ball to DeAndre Hopkins, in which he doesn't commit OPI. Let's be honest, the first one was OPI.
It was.
Ball hung up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And the second, you know, the D-hop catch and run was exquisite. You know, ball was probably a little behind him. But, again, for a rookie starting, what the scenario was, I think that Levis acquitted himself nicely. And again, that last touchdown pass, and I tweeted this, I thought, I think there are only a couple guys in the NFL, and I don't want to overhype Levis, but I think there are only a couple guys in the NFL that can throw a ball across their body like that, diagonally, hit a guy perfectly without having his feet fully set in a situation like that. I mean, that's probably like Mahomes and Allen type arm strength, which is why you draft this guy. He's got size, he's got tools, he's got arm strength. And very, very encouraging start. But I think if you also want to look at downside, remember, it's an Atlanta team that was in the bottom third in the league in terms of pass rush pressure. I think they pressured him on around 40% of his passes, which is high for them, which is, you know, probably a little bit indicative of where that line is at, some of the things he was doing to get guys open, although I thought the pocket actually held up really well for him in that game. And then, you know, Grady Jarrett goes down. I think there's, against the Steelers, especially with Cam Hayward coming back, you know, Highsmith and Watt, you're looking at a situation where he's probably going to face, even though I don't think they've been great, a great pressure team the way that maybe we're used to in the past, I think he's going to face it. There's going to be some teeth he's going to be running into tonight. So all in all, I think pretty impressive. But a lot of growth left ahead of him, and we haven't seen, I think, yet, especially in that first game, the things that we get nervous about with Levis. When he's under pressure, he's got to make decisions and not over-rely on his arm, throwing things into coverage, getting himself in trouble, not throwing the ball away, figuring out how to not take sacks, you know, just typical rookie stuff. Honestly, it's, we're not just harping on something with him where all other rookies, it's not the same thing, especially guys with strong arms. You're like, please God, figure out that you can throw the ball away and don't risk turnovers and do these things that are going to have Mike Vrabel pulling his hair out. That's what everyone's just going to have to buckle up and be okay with some of those things happening and working that out. So I'm happy for Titans fans. It's a little bit of a booster shot for everybody. It was cool to see how excited clearly the players were. It was cool to see DeAndre Hopkins get unlocked in that moment. And hopefully everybody doesn't go overboard about, you know, how is Mike treating Will? And what about this interaction in the tunnel? I saw the video of the interaction, and
he clearly hates him.
Yeah. Well, and I'm telling you, I'm gonna go ahead and tread lightly there, because we had a video, a social video early in the year. We're like, well, does Mike Vrabel hate Will Levis?
That's right.
You know, that, you remember that? Yeah, that didn't go well. Like, that was something where we had to have a little talk with our social team.
Yeah, you seemed to really enjoy that. And that was you, right? You came up with that? Wasn't that you?
I had a lot of fun with that one. That was really
a great idea by you.
Awesome day with the social team, being like, yeah, okay, so let's have a conversation about you putting words into other people's mouths. Real quick, too, before we get into what I'm sure we're going to get into, I do, and I think fans should understand this, I think it's good for Vrabel to be the type of coach that's coaching Will Levis, because you know what? Will Levis, and be completely honest about it, a lot of teams, when they did their assessment on him, if there was something about Will Levis that maybe gave them kind of a sideways vibe about him, he was extremely confident. He was a guy who they felt like really liked his game, really liked kind of being that guy. And a lot of quarterbacks are like that, and that's fine. But, like, you know, that whole eat the cheese thing, you would hear teams say, like, he's a guy who will eat that cheese. And it's good to have a coach who's like, you know what, man, I'm going to keep bringing you down to earth. I'm going to keep reminding you that you got to work really hard. I'm going to keep reminding you, keep yourself composed. Don't talk into every microphone that's put in your face. You know, don't wave into every camera. Like, you know, just keep your mind on the game and refining yourself. And I don't think that's the worst thing for Will Levis. And I know that people want to see Mike, you know, embracing him and hugging him and giving all. I think a little, you know, tough love's okay, particularly at the start here, and earn it. Like, believe me, Ryan Tannehill had to earn it. There's no doubt. And at Tannehill's height, Mike gave him respect, but it didn't just wasn't forked over like nothing. And if Tannehill was telling you the truth, even at the heights, there was always an element of, you know, having to continually earn Mike Vrabel's respect. That's just how he is as a coach. And I actually kind of think it's good for what Will Levis's makeup is. It's I'm glad it wasn't an overjoyed, you know, high five, awesome, great, this is how it's going to be type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what his family thinks the same thing. I mean, Vrabel doing that anyway is like, basically you have to be near death center who shouldn't even be on the field, and then he'll hug you and cry, but, you know, like with Ben Jones last year. But other than that, that's how he is. I mean, that's...
And Joe, he treats everybody like that. That's the thing. Like, I'll say this about Mike Vrabel as someone who doesn't have, like, a relationship with Mike at all, like the way maybe other people out there do at all, okay? The book on Mike, everybody, and I'm talking about people inside the NFL, I'm talking about people who cover him, all these things. Like, Mike is a you-got-to-earn-it guy, and he doesn't let a lot of people in, and he's very, like, it's just, you got to earn it with him. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I think that, especially when you're a head coach, it can be a very, very good thing. Like, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, and I will tell you right now, everybody thinks Mike Tomlin's this, you know, the coolest guy, and he connects with all his players and stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, when Mike got that job in Pittsburgh, I remember being there, and all these players, he instantaneously, they were like, yo, like, I connect with this guy, but oh my God, we got to do this fitness test at the beginning of the year. And there were like potential Hall of Famers. We're like dying. And I don't want to say dying, that's terrible. Who are gassed out in a fitness test thinking, well, I'm going to be able to get through this because Mike's my guy. No. Like, Mike was like, I'm here for you. I'm your coach. Like, great. I'm going to back you. I'll be your guy. But you're going to earn it every second you're on this roster with me. And if you respect Mike Tomlin for that, you should respect Mike Vrabel for that, because they're very similar in that respect.
All right. So, speaking of Will Levis, you go on some lame podcast and you know, and talk about, like, the Levis draft pick being quote. Wait, who was? Oh, yeah. Okay, it was Michael Smith. All right, he's good. That's a good podcast.
Let's drag him into this.
Yeah, I know. Let's attack Michael Smith. All right, I didn't know what podcast it was, but regardless, the term was ownership-driven decision, I believe, and I'd like you to explain that and also explain what to the Robbie and Rex Show listeners why you did not tell us this.
You're already putting ownership-inspired.
Oh, are we,
driven,
oh, inspired. Okay. All right.
Different.
Okay. What can you tell us about that?
There.
All right. What can you tell us?
All right, so it's funny because when you say things like this, everyone's like, ownership selected Levis. That's how it happens. Like, you know, it's always one person. That's my favorite thing. Where anytime a draft pick happens, it's like, you know, absolutely the GM made it, or absolutely the owner made it, or absolutely the head coach made it, when often there is a consortium of opinions, and they're not always like, hey, 100%, hey, this is exactly what we got to do, you know. And one of the things I will say about Mike Vrabel and a lot of head coaches is that they want to have as many, particularly on a team that needs it, you know, you want to have as many assets across the board as possible. So if you're, you know, trading multiple picks to go up and get a player, particularly when it's a quarterback who's not instantaneously going to start, who, you know, like, hey, our best chance to win right now is going to be Ryan Tannehill. And, oh, by the way, we just traded, or we just drafted a third round quarterback the year before. You know, it's a situation where I think that you had ownership knew that the thought process, and I think probably, you know, in personnel, let's say long-term, we might not have the quarterback on the roster yet. There's value if Levis gets to a certain point on the board that's got to be considered. And yeah, I think ownership was definitely on board with that. Now, I said on the podcast, and I will maintain this, I think there were certainly differing, I want to say different, not differing, different opinions about, you know, Will Levis, like there were in all teams, by the way. Everybody doesn't agree on, hey, is this the absolute right guy in terms of the makeup? Are we all happy with his level of cockiness? Are we all happy with, you know, the decisions we saw on tape? You know, his most recent tape coming into the league, that kind of thing. So if you ask me, was this a Mike pick? I would say no. And you know what? That's fine. Mike Vrabel wants to come out and say, yeah, it's BS. This guy's when he's talking about it. Absolutely was my pick. Cool. Do that. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I don't agree. I think it was a pick that it was something that was reached, a decision that was reached. I think that, like I said, I think ownership was inspired by the idea we need to address quarterback again. And here's a guy who's got tools and value. And yeah, I'm on board with that. And I brought this up, I think, on the show after the draft. Probably people didn't pay a lot of attention to it. I know, I'm sure I mentioned it on our podcast, maybe other shows or whatever. People who knew Mike, it didn't go unnoticed in the video where, you know, everybody's seen it, where, you know, the phone rans, Rand Carthon's congratulating him. The phone goes to Amy and, you know, she's all happy and congratulating him. And then it gets to Mike, and Mike immediately gets down to business about, here's what you got to do. Here's what you need to be prepared for. You know, here's what, like, instantly you could see sort of two welcome parties in one. Okay, buddy, get to work. Like, this is, you better be ready for this. We just invested assets in you. We're not playing around. Like, you know, and this is what my function is going to be in your life. So, you know, people should understand that. I will also say, people get way too caught up in who made the pick, right? Like they do. And when I said it on the podcast, I do think it's fascinating. I like to know the backstory on it. Down the line, you tend to hear a little more truth about how exactly it came down, what the conversations were, things like that, especially if it's a really successful player. But years and years on Brady, how did that pick happen? You know, who really backed him? All these different things. Dak, it was a big conversation in Dallas. Different people in that organization wanted a different quarterback in the fourth round when they ended up with Dak, including ownership. So
Connor Cook, right? Wasn't Connor Cook possibly? Just a total aside there. Weren't they all over him?
They had two quarterbacks that really they wanted ahead of Dak. Paxton Lynch in the first round. Jerry was all, you know, fired up to get Paxton Lynch. Didn't happen. Ended up getting Denver ended up taking him. And then, yeah, as you said, Connor Cook, that was, and the Raiders moved up to get Connor Cook in front of them. And it was funny because later the draft board leaked and they were like, off the top of my head here, I mean, there were a lot of quarterbacks ahead of Dak on their board, including, but there was one on the board who was ahead of Dak when they took Dak instead. So then you're like, well, how did that happen? There was someone higher on the board, clearly someone championed for him, which is where it becomes, I think, interesting. Who wasn't in the room and stood on the table to make Dak the pick at that point? So that, to me, is interesting. But again, I don't want people to get caught up in, like, well, if it wasn't just Mike's pick, if maybe Mike, you know, would have leaned into adding more, you know, players on the roster, not, you know, combining these assets to go up and get a quarterback when he knew they'd be starting a veteran this year. does that mean Mike doesn't like? No, no. And by the way, I think another thing about Mike Vrabel, too, is he is the ultimate, in some respects, and I think I've told you this in the past, Joe, I think he's the ultimate rally guy as a head coach. Like, once the decision's made by the organization, jointly, whatever, he's like, all right, let's go do it. Like, let's do it. Let's put in the work. Let's make it happen. He's not out there. He's not going to be a guy who's out there, like, constantly undercutting it and being, like, trying to figure out ways to be like, this is going to fail and it's that person's fault. And I, trust me, I've seen coaches and general managers like that, and I don't think he falls in that category. So I think people just need to calm down a little bit and enjoy the ride, okay? You picked a guy who clearly has a lot that he's bringing to the table, which is a pretty awesome situation for the organization.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what a week it's been for the Raiders. You have the Devontae Adams situation on Sunday where he can't get the football thrown his way, and when it is thrown his way, it's not thrown accurately his way. In the middle of the night the other night, they move on from the coach and GM, and now Jimmy G to the bench. What do you make of what this week has been like for the Raiders and where things go from here?
Certainly been interesting. There's no question. Just wait. I mean, we're just cranking up the Jim Harbaugh stuff. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I went through there in training camp, and one of the things that I thought, and I do think this played out too in the firings, it was clear to me when you talk to people in the organization, when Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler went in there, that Mark Davis had it in his mind, hey, we were in the playoffs, like, I want to continue this momentum. I don't see this as a teardown rebuild. I know you want to bring in your culture and make some changes, but I want to compete. And so Chandler Jones is added. Devontae Adams is added to the fold. You had Darren Waller extension, all these things that ended up being, they did not work out. Darren Waller eventually gets dealt. Devontae Adams is obviously not happy. Chandler Jones, very, very public and messy. Mental health, thing that plays out on social media, really rough. And then on top of that, they're a bad team in year one. And I think it became apparent to Mark Davis after that, largely when Josh McDaniels, comes to Mark Davis and says, I don't think Derek Carr's the guy. I think we got to make a change at quarterback. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I think there were other quarterbacks in play as well, but it was clear that eventually he was leaning into Jimmy Garoppolo. I think at that point, Mark Davis is sitting there going, okay, this does feel like a Patriots culture install. It does feel like there's a little bit of a rebuild happening here, even though we're not saying it. We're sending a guy out of town in Derek Carr, who I do have a connection with and who has stood up here in tough times. And I'm going to be measuring. This better go right in year two. Like, there's going to be expectations, particularly where it concerns guys I've spent a lot of money on, like Devontae Adams, and I don't want to be embarrassed here. And the thing was, he got embarrassed. And I think, some of the things that happened with Mark Davis that bothered him, the Las Vegas Aces, who he owns, go out and they win a title. He feels like, hey, we've got a good head coach. All these things are going right. You can see the organization knows what it's doing. And then I go out in public, particularly at these events after they win a title, and all I have is people yelling at me, screaming at me about, like, fire Josh McDaniels. And it's like embarrassing for him to be out in public knowing, like, I poured all this into the football side of my, holdings, and all I'm getting jeered outside. And I don't think he was happy about that. And I think as he saw players grumbling publicly, and I think he could see there was some disconnect going on inside the locker room. He talked to players about this. He kept his ears open. He had a dialogue with these guys, and he started to hear things that were similar to Josh McDaniel's stay in Denver, which was, we're not connecting with this guy. We don't know what the mission is here. We don't know that he's necessarily the guy. And it wasn't just people like, well, it's got to be coming from Josh Jacobs, the running back, or has to be coming from Devontae Adams. No, I think it was coming from a lot of defensive guys too. And, I think he got to the point, particularly after the Monday night loss to Detroit, which was embarrassing again, and frustrating, especially the way, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo played, where that was it. He'd had it. He knew that – I think he felt that Josh had lost the locker room and it was time to move on from this. And I do think Antonio Pierce being the guy who ends up being the interim, who, by the way, is not a coordinator. He's a position coach. And I think that he knew when he talked to people in the locker room, like, hey, we connect with this guy. We think he's real with us. We think, which is not uncommon with position coaches in particular, they very much connect with players in the locker room. And, you know, the defensive players there, there's a lot of core guys that are very much the leaders of that team. So it's not a surprise to me that the interim becomes Antonio Pierce. But I think this all, it's a lot of different things that stacked on top of each other, quarterback, Mark Davis's expectations, some of the embarrassment he felt, and all these different things. And, you know, he pulls the plug, and now we're going to swing into, well, did he do this because he thinks Harbaugh might be available? How's he going to, you know, conduct the next search? All these different things. It's a messed up situation there. And it is, it's not a roster bereft of talent. They do have some talent, but you got to believe that whoever comes in next, you could be looking at quite a turnover there. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's, I guess it all depends on who the head coach and general manager are coming in, but it's about as messed up a situation as it possibly could be. And I will say this about Mark Davis. Since he took over the team after his dad passed away, Al Davis, in, what, 2011, I think the only thing that guy's really done right is get the team to Vegas. But that was it. The best thing he's done is put money in his own pocket through the move. Other than that, he's right there with every other bad owner in the league.
Although, I mean, I think firing Josh McDaniels by a fortune cookie was kind of a stroke of genius. So, I mean, I'll give him credit for that one.
Hey, real quick, I'll give you a quick story about Mark Davis. I'm at the Biltmore in Arizona years ago. We're at an owner's meeting, and I'm at it's in the Biltmore, right? Super swanky hotel. There's a sushi place, and I'm sitting at the sushi bar by myself. Mark Davis comes in, sidles up, sits next to me at the sushi bar. I swear to God, I watched the guy eat three bowls of edamame, and that was it.
Really like some edamame, God, baby. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I was like, is this a rabbit? I'm like, dude, like, what's like, he's a protein beyond the edamame, buddy.
Wow. I did not have that on my bingo card today. Well, you, Charles, real quick, you mentioned a name, and we've talked about him in a different, you know, just the whole insane Connor Stallion story. But what about Harbaugh and his viability in the NFL right now? Because I do feel like maybe he'll be looking that way.
Well, here's the fun thing about this, and I wrote a piece. I don't know if it's even up today, but I wrote a piece late last night about this. Everybody forgot that when the investigation in Ohio State happened, back in, I want to say like 2011, 2012, right around then.
You know it well.
And we're in the middle of that. And players got fragged for the tattoo stuff and all this. And then Terrell Pryor basically renders himself ineligible and gets himself in the supplemental draft by saying, here's all the stuff that happened at Ohio State. And so the NCAA decides, you know, hey, we're going to suspend Jim Tressel for all these games. And Tressel, in the middle of it, he resigned, right? So he gets to the NFL, and the Colts hire him as a replay advisor. So he's going to be a replay advisor for the Indianapolis Colts. All of a sudden, the Colts step out, and this is when, like, publicly everyone's like, why are all these Ohio State players, why do they have to serve out these suspensions and everything? Why are they being held responsible? And meanwhile, Tressel can just resign and go off to the NFL for, you know, his next job, you know, whatever. So the Colts step out, and I think it was under pressure from the league office. That was how it was insinuated at the time. And they go, yeah, he's not going to start that role for us until week 7. So it was essentially a suspension. Like, they held up his ability to work in the NFL for 6 games, which mirrored what some of these suspensions that, you know, players were serving. And then Terrell Pryor was dealing with on the NFL level. I think he was suspended for 5 games because of what had happened at Ohio State. And so it created this idea, and then Roger Goodell came out and said, I'm glad, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, I'm glad they did that. If they hadn't held Jim Tressel accountable, I would have held him accountable. So it created an idea that there's this precedent that if the NCAA goes after a coach and a program and everyone, so let's say the NCAA comes out and says, you know what, Jim Harbaugh, we found X, Y, and Z, we're going to suspend you for a year. Now it's like, okay, well, say he goes to the NFL and the Raiders were to hire him, is he subject to an NFL suspension? Is the NFL going to uphold, basically, quote unquote, to use Goodell's words over 10 years ago, hold them accountable? Like, and I think the Raiders or any team that would even consider Jim Harbaugh would have to know that. Like, they're going to have to ask, like, hey, wait a minute. Nothing's going to happen to Michigan anytime soon, by the way. People should understand that. Even if, like, if the NCAA found something on Michigan and they say, here's the infractions we think happened, Michigan's got 90 days to respond to that, okay? Which, by the way, okay, so they're playing out the season. They're going to be in the, if they qualify for it, they're going to be in the college football playoffs. This season's going to be done. It's going to be in the books. It's going to be a long time before any of this gets sorted out. And then after that, they go through the infractions process. That can take forever. It can take years. And so it's possible that, let's say Harbaugh decides I'm going to go to the NFL. Let's say the Raiders are interested, and they've been rumored to be interested in 2014, 2022. So it's possible that it's there again. Let's say we're a year into his tenure, or 2 years into his tenure, or whatever, and it all comes down the pipeline, and next thing you know, the NCAA, what the final ruling is, yeah, Jim Harbaugh would have been suspended for X amount of time here. Does that mean the league is that going to turn to the Raiders or whoever and say, hey, so you're gonna have to uphold that? Like, what? Like, it's weird to me because I'm like, back when it was done to Tressel, there was a lot of optics that played into it because it's like, why are the adults who are responsible in this situation getting away with something or able to skate when, and there was a lot of Pete Carroll in this because Pete Carroll had gone to Seattle in the middle of the whole Reggie Bush USC stuff. It was like, why are we letting this happen? And the NFL, and it was felt like from an optics standpoint, was stepping in and basically trying to go, hey, we'll hold the adults responsible. Which seems ludicrous now because you're talking about why would the NFL uphold college, NCAA to college? That's not, there's nothing in the NFL world that suggests that this corporation should uphold this other basically corporation's rules. Like, I know I get the optics thing, but it seems kind of crazy and it's something that definitely could come into play. But you know what? 2 weeks from now, Jim Harbaugh could sign an extension at Michigan. This could all be off the books anyway, and none of it matters. But it's certainly going to be for good theater. And all these people out there that are wondering what's going to happen to Michigan, I can tell you this right now, having dealt with a lot of the NCAA's infraction processes for a lot of years, they are playing out the season. And they're going to play in the college football playoff if they make it there. And nothing is happening anytime soon in terms of this investigation, other than everything that's happened with leaks and here's what they're finding and this guy's showing up on this sideline. It's I do like the Where's Waldo-esque like where are we gonna find this guy in the next photo? Like, what? He's gonna be at some point, he's gonna be in like a White House staff photo,
yeah,
making video.
It's pretty wild.
It is amazing.
Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30 here on the show. Charles, appreciate you as always, my man, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Charles Robinson, every Thursday at 8 o'clock. Lots to get to from what Charles said there. We'll get into the Will Levis part of the conversation. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I do, and I think fans should understand this. I think it's good for Vrabel to be the type of coach that's coaching Will Levis because, you know what, Will Levis, and be completely honest about it, a lot of teams, when they did their assessment on him, if there was something about Will Levis that maybe gave them kind of a sideways vibe about him, he was extremely confident. He was a guy who they felt like really liked his game, really liked kind of being that guy. And a lot of quarterbacks are like that, and that's fine. But, like, you know, that whole eat the cheese thing, you would hear teams say, like, he's a guy who will eat that cheese. And it's good to have a coach who's like, you know what, man, I'm going to keep bringing you down to earth. I'm going to keep reminding you that you got to work really hard. I'm going to keep reminding you, keep yourself composed. Don't talk into every microphone that's put in your face. You know, don't wave into every camera. Like, you know, just keep your mind on the game and refining yourself. And I don't think that's the worst thing for Will Levis.
That was Charles Robinson with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us. Joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Joe, it was interesting to hear Charles' thoughts on Will Levis with the Titans. We've talked this week about him going on the Michael Smith podcast and saying that it was
a very good podcast.
Yes, an ownership-driven pick for Will Levis. He expounded on that with us during his visit this morning in terms of what that means, and doesn't necessarily mean that Mike Vrabel is like anti-Will Levis, but how he believes that ownership wanted to take a look at another quarterback. I do remember, you know, in the aftermath of the Titans drafting Will Levis, Charles came on our show and he talked about like Vrabel's reaction to it and the video that came out of Vrabel getting on the phone with him and talking about, you know, staying humble and all this other stuff. And my reaction at the time was, that's just Vrabel, right? Like, it's what Vrabel does. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting, like, hearing the way that Charles kind of painted that with us. What do you make of the Will Levis drafting, the ownership part of this, and how Mike Vrabel factors into all this?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, Charles said what he can say. You know, like, there's I'm sure, stuff that Charles knows, conversations he's had. I just understand that, like, he's not going to throw something like that out. He will not do that.
No.
So, but also, I think what he said can apply to so much of the conversation at this here station this week. We so badly want things to be like, you did this, you did, or you, right? I mean, Jared and I have these conversations like, it's binary. Who picks the players? Is it Rand or is it Vrabel? I'm like, well, Rand picks the player. I mean, how many of these – do you think the free agents like Brunskill and Alshire are Vrabel picks?
Probably not.
Guys who are with Rand, right? When it comes down to a huge decision, you know, that's what you're talking about. And like Charles said, when something goes well, like Brady, you get a whole documentary on which scout liked Brady, and people want to take credit for it. Something goes bad, then it's a lot harder to get that information. But let me ask you this. If you owned a sports team and you were sitting on draft night, would you just be like, yeah, you know, you guys do whatever you want. I'm going to go count my money over here. Let me know how our team's shaping up. I'm going to be heavily interested, involved, and in the discussion.
Yeah,
right?
I'm going to be in the discussion. Now, I don't love the idea of ownership making decisions on you do on draft night.
I agree. No, I don't think you can say, wait, you guys decided what? All your information, you did what? No, we're taking this guy instead. Right. I like this guy. And that's something Jerry Jones would do, right?
Right.
So I agree, but there's this balance, there's this middle ground of actual collaboration, for lack of a better term, and like Charles said, a bunch of opinions, and people talking it out, hashing it out, and make a decision. And that happens, and then it's not clean for us. It's not easy to just say, you did this or you did that.
Well, I think some people read the comments that Charles had on the Michael Smith podcast the other day and said, oh, so like Vrabel and Carthon didn't want Levis, and Amy said, right, go take him. That's who you're taking. It doesn't sound like that's what happened.
And to be fair to people, I mean, there's a lot of overreaction and parsing of words, things like that. But, I mean, I get going there when you hear ownership. So what was the term you used? Ownership inspired?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I can get going there. But, yeah, I mean, it often isn't that simple. So if Levis does really well, at some point, there'll probably be more stuff that comes out about how the conversations went. If he becomes like a generational QB and all this stuff. And if not, then we can all probably sit here and guess and have little bits and pieces. Because then no one wants to be blamed when something goes badly. People love to take the credit if it goes well. But, you know, I'm reading this question from Dylan. Is it bad that Levis had the performance he did? He set the bar extremely high for himself and the fans, the people, then the organization. No, I'd say playing well is good.
I think it's good to know that's you have that in you, right? I mean, that's good. That's a good look. I think tonight, I hope he plays well. I'm not saying he's not going to play well. He's probably not going to play as well as he did on Sunday tonight. I mean, I don't think that's a huge leap to say that. So it's good to have that in the bank. It was interesting to get Charles' thoughts on the tunnel video too. With Will Levis, do you think that because maybe it wasn't necessarily Mike's idea to draft Will Levis that he's taking out him on the tunnel
now?
So
this goes along with that. He hates him, and he didn't want him, and so now he's like, you kind of stunk today. Get in that locker room. You get one towel only for the shower. That's it. Ryan, you didn't even play. You get three towels.
Yes, Ryan. Have fun in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you'll be
thing.
Starting against Tampa Bay when you're back on the field.
I don't care what this kid does. Yeah, I mean, it's but this is totally right. And like I said to Charles during the segment, I mean, that's I think some of what he said about taking the cheese. I think teams, in my opinion, from what I've seen, I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. But I get it. He's super type A, all-American quarterback guy. But his family does like the idea of a tough coach, for sure. And so, I mean, I think it'll do well. Vrabel is going to – any, especially a rookie quarterback or not, who starts having all the success, Vrabel's – it's the most – it's like hit the knee and you know what's going to happen. It's a complete reflex that he is going to try to tamp that down.
Tomorrow, Joe and I and the Chase and Big Joe show will be broadcasting live at the grand opening of a new Dunkin' location at 14835 Lebanon Road in Old Hickory. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 6 to 11 a.m. and have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert, plus tons of giveaways as well. We'll be back out at a new Dunkin' location tomorrow in Old Hickory, so looking forward to that. Coming up next, time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Steelers heading into Thursday Night Football tonight as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Seattle Kraken on the road. Puck drop 9 o'clock, pregame 8 o'clock here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. The standings are as follows. Nick Kieser has taken the lead in the competition after Colton Sisson's goal the other night. He has 3 correct answers. Joe Rex Road and the listeners tied for second place with 2. And I am in last place with 1 correct answer on the season to this point. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ashley. Ashley, thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
It's Roman Josi.
Roman Josi. Ashley, thank you. We appreciate it. So
Josi,
the selection by Ashley.
Okay.
I think he's due. He scored a nice overtime winner for Josi the other night, but I think due for a couple more goals. Somebody else that's due, and I'm up first today, so I'm going to take him. Philip Forsberg has 1 goal through 9 games. I actually think he's playing pretty well. The numbers suggest that he is, but it's time for him to start putting some in the back of the net. I think he does that tonight, so I will go with Forsberg. Josi Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Predators.
Well, I'll go Tommy Novak.
Tommy Novak, the selection.
I think that's the way to go.
He's also been pretty good.
You get Novak third anymore, and you feel pretty good about things. But I felt pretty good about getting Forsberg fourth, and that didn't work out
for me. So. Josi Forsberg, Novak off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click. Are you sticking with the hot hand who has 5 goals on the season so far?
Well, I think after hitting on Colton Sissons, I'm not going there again. But he didn't score in his 1,000th game, so give me Ryan O'Reilly. He needs a little bit of redemption just to get this road trip started.
So Ryan O'Reilly. Josi Forsberg, Novak, and O'Reilly, the selections. Preds Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Joe, your final thoughts on the game tonight for the Titans. They're taking on Pittsburgh on the road Thursday Night Football. A win tonight gets the Titans back to 4-4. You lose, you're at 3-5, and it's a little bit of a different story that way. So a massive game for the Titans tonight. Will Levis making his second career start. What are your expectations from Levis tonight as he prepares for start number 2, this time on the road against Pittsburgh?
Well, I think it won't be as good as his first start. You know, it won't be as good as his first start. I would say if you're a Titans fan, you know, you should be excited about Will Levis. You should love what you saw the other day. And maybe just expect, like, a bunch of sacks and a couple picks and a loss, and then you will be. Why am I doing this with my hands? See, maybe I do have a problem with my hands. Now that I think about it, but you know, then you can be.
You look ridiculous.
Thank you. You can be pleasantly surprised. Again, I think the ball's got to get out quick tonight. You know, the other day, like Charles said, they had a high pressure rate for the Falcons, and that's even after losing Grady Jarrett early in the game. But he did have some good pockets, and he was able to get those deep shots off, and he had man coverage downfield, and it was beautiful. But today, I think it's – or tonight, it's got to be the ball. It's got to be out quickly. And I think Will Levis's running ability, which is significant and should be an asset for him, maybe you'll see that come into play. He's gonna have to do some escaping, I'd say, tonight.
QB power? Is that what we're
well,
gonna say?
I'm not against that, but you know, you probably don't want to intentionally put your rookie QB in harm's way too much, but here and there a little bit of that. But I think just, you know, move. He's been good at moving around the pocket. Last year at Kentucky, there are a lot of games where, I mean, people, especially the Vols fans, you saw it. He didn't have much chance, and then he's forcing passes, and if he gets out there tonight forcing passes like that, it's going to go real badly for him. But I just really like the way he operated, decided quickly, and got the ball out of his hands quickly in the last game, and that's got to come into play again. Take away the deep shots, just the other stuff I thought was encouraging, and that needs to translate tonight.
Key tonight for me is running the ball. Can you run the ball against this Pittsburgh defense? Cam Hayward back in there for the Steelers. Pittsburgh's defense has given up they've given up a lot of yards so far, around 137 a game on the ground this year. So can Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears find some success running the football tonight? If they can, I do think that opens a lot of things up for Levis and makes things easier. We've talked about the play action pass. On the other side of the ball for the Titans, I said it earlier, but was Sunday's game for the pass rush, was that a sign of things to come? Was that a one-off? Can they get after the quarterback and Kenny Pickett tonight? Ooh, by the way, Kenny Pickett looks like he's going to play. He is dealing with a rib injury, which is not great for a quarterback when you're trying to throw a football.
No.
So, interested to see how that affects him tonight.
I'm thinking 98 would probably like to hit him in the midsection a few times.
Probably so.
That's probably part of the plan. Can I jump on Ron here?
Sure.
We don't have really time for this, but Ron's still going with the why do we want the Titans to keep winning? We need high picks in the next draft. Like, there's 17 football games in a year. I know that this is a total re-rant. This is just a rant over and over again. Like, you're worried about the draft right now? Like, he's like, I'm like, they're not going to tank. He's like, he can always sit players and bring in scrubs to lose the game. Can we live in reality? It's a football game tonight. Your team has an exciting quarterback.
Just snap it and take a knee every time. You're just going to take a knee.
Like, why are we worried about the draft right now? Like, this draft standing is this guarantee that you're going to get a great player. Look at the Titans' history of high and low first-round draft picks. I'm not saying you don't want a better pick, but right now they're playing football.
Jason Big Joe coming up next from the grand opening of Fast Pace Healthcare at 3556 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch. You could stop by and enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game and other prizes as well. That does it for us. Enjoy some football tonight. Preds game tonight as well. We'll discuss all of it tomorrow morning. Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.